And Pastor Jeremiah, we invite you to the pulpit.
There is a legend that has gone out, and it's also on social media. Who knows if it's true, but you might have seen it. But basically, as a church was just about to celebrate and introduce their new pastor. They were all excited. Oh boy, what's going to happen? Yay, who's going to be like? And as they were getting ready, someone who looked like they were going through a hard time, someone who had that stereotypical maybe look of someone who is maybe homeless, came into the church and didn't have the best experience. They kind of said, oh yeah, you go sit here. Where's the pastor? Where's the pastor? And nobody really said hi to them. People kind of had some bodily reactions to him. And everybody was so focused on this new pastor. And then at the time of the service said it was time to introduce the pastor, they said, everybody welcome our new pastor to the church. And in the back corner, where that person who looked homeless was, that person stood up, walked up to the front of the church and said, hi, I'm your new pastor, and we have lots of work to do. Now, I don't recommend dressing like someone who is homeless, okay? It's like blackface, but poor face, maybe? I don't know. But you get the point, right? And I think this is still a very hard thing for churches in North America to deal with. I'll tell you a true story. It's not a legend. It's true. My friend who is indigenous has been hurt by the church. Now, do you guys know what's on Tuesday this week? What is it? Yeah. It's a time to tell the truth, but also move towards reconciliation with Indigenous peoples in Canada, and unfortunately the church has been a part of the bad things that's happened to them. And our church in particular, we actually had something like a residential school in New Mexico with the Navajo or Diné people, and we have been on a long many years of lamenting, of repenting and changing and asking God to heal us as a church. And my friend, his mom went to residential schools. And his dad also had some tough times, and he was always kind of, he's a Christian, he loves Jesus, but he's been hurt by the church. And when he was homeless, this was a few years back, I invited him to come to this church, but silly me, I gave him the wrong address. Well, I put the right address in, but I thought it was right, but I have a little bit of mixing numbers up, and my bad. And he was busing it, and he couldn't find the church. So there was about four or five churches around the area. So he went to a church. I don't know which one it was. And he said, yeah, he was stressed out. He was trying to find his way here. He opened the church and said, please help me. I'm looking for this church named Mosaic House. Do you know where it is? Now, as a church, how do you think we should respond? Yeah, help them, probably. That's like the basic thing. And you know what the church did? The person said, I'm sorry, I can't help you. And they closed the door on him. For someone who's already hurt by the church, how would that feel? Now, we're doing a series right now through the book of James called Community, A Place to Belong. And that's the hope of the church of Jesus, that we are a place where all people can belong. Pastor Victor talked the very first week about an enduring community, a community that feels God's presence in times of struggle. And last week, Pastor Rune talked about end of James 1. He talked about faith that works in community. That we're not just hearers of the word, we are doers of the word. And today we're going to look at James 2, which is basically a continuation of Pastor Rune's message. What does it look like to actually be doers of the word? If you have your Bibles, please turn with me. We're going to start in James chapter 2, starting in verse 1. James chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord. My brothers and sisters, keep that in mind. It's very important. believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, "Oh, here's a good seat for you," but say to the poor man, you stand over there, or just sit on the floor by my feet, okay? Have you not discriminated amongst yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers and sisters. Has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are not they the ones dragging you into court? Are not they the ones who are blaspheming the noble name of him to whom you belong? If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. Whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said you should not commit adultery also said you should not commit murder. If you do not commit adultery but do commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. And this is our memory verses for this week. So let's say it together. Speak and act at those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such a faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one says to them, "Oh, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, see ya," but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Lord, these are hard words. Thank you that you are merciful and you are just. Thank you show mercy to us. Though we were poor in sin, you forgave us, you watched over us. And now we are called to be like you, to be merciful, to love all. Lord, help us. Help us to become like you. Help us to honor you and to be the community you call us to be so that you may be glorified in the world. And may you use these small words of mine for your great glory today. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you like, we have sermon notes that you can follow along with. There's a QR code in front of you. You can go on our website. But this is the theming goal. This is what I believe God wants us to know today. The Lord Jesus favors us with a faith that shows no favoritism. The Lord Jesus favors us, he blesses, he gives us a kind of faith that does not show favoritism. Like I mentioned earlier, this is a continuation of James 1. Those, and I love the image that Pastor Uni brought up, those who do not do what the Bible says, they look at the word, but then they forget about it, is like someone who looks into a mirror and they say, "Oh, wow, my hair is all messy." And they just forget about it, and they walk into the world. And even when we don't mean to, when we're in community, we sometimes hurt each other. We don't feel like we belong by the way that we interact with each other. It's very, very subtle. My friend, a family member, went to a wealthy church. And it felt okay. It was nice. Everybody was nice. And it felt kind of welcoming, but the sermon was talking about kind of wealthy things like, "Oh, my Jaguar, not the car, but in his basement, he had a real Jaguar. His life is so hard, you know. I got my plastic surgery, and he's really being a jerk. But that's the wealthy lifestyle. And she's like, okay, so weird, but I can deal with it. And then she wanted to be part of the community, right? So there's a Bible study, and she went to the Bible study. Oh, you know what? How about you come with us to Mexico this weekend? And my friend's like, sure. I can't afford that in her head, she was saying. But it was so natural for them to be like, yeah, I want you part of our life. Just join into our lifestyle. But she couldn't fit into that lifestyle without going into serious debt. And how would you feel if you were in that situation? Like, oh, it's okay. We'll pay for you. Come on in. How would you feel about that? At first, it would be generous. Yeah, that's nice. But if they kept doing that, and in order to be in community with them, you have to depend on them, how does that feel? Is that an equal relationship? No. But it happens even here, unfortunately. And it's just so subtle. Like, for example, if I say to you, hey, let's go for supper at a local coffee shop. It's $10 a coffee, by the way. And I love supporting local, okay? I do. Or let's go to eat at a local place. And if I have the means, or you have the means, like, yeah, sure, I'll work on my budget. Yeah, it's about maybe $30 for supper. Is that right now? No, it's gone up, isn't it? Okay, let's go $80 of 50, maybe? Okay, I can budget that. Oh, let's go after church. Like, sure, I'll make it. But what if somebody's on income support? What if they only have $30 for the whole month? You say, oh, let's go for supper. How do you think they feel? And you say, oh, we'll pay for you. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. And we keep paying for them. Guess what happens? How do they feel again? It's the same thing, isn't it? It's really, really hard. Today, we're going to look at, through the book of James, how Jesus, in his mercy and grace, is transforming us to be a people who are united, who are like him, who don't show favoritism. The Lord Jesus favors us with a faith. He gives us a faith that shows no favoritism. And we're just looking at 2 points today. One, the Lord Jesus favors us with faith. And the second, we're going to look at how that faith shows no favoritism. Now, the first point, you can write this in your notes. The Lord Jesus favors us with faith. Now, in the book of James, he's trying to inspire us to have mercy and compassion to those who are living in poverty. And the person he's describing is it's pretty obvious. It's not just a guy who is kind of living in poverty. He's really, really poor. A poor man in filthy old clothes comes in. He's almost like a beggar. And James is kind of focusing on this because in society, and I think in his time and us today, we tend to look down upon those who are in poverty a little more often than those who are wealthy. That's just kind of human because the world system tends to favor those who are rich, who are famous, who have money. And this guy with gold rings in that culture, it's you show your wealth through rings. The actual translation is gold-fingered. Everything he touches turns to gold. He's very, very wealthy. And in the time of Jesus, and I think in our day today, there was an Eastern philosophy called karma that was influencing the Jewish peoples at the time. And if you know a little bit about karma, it's that those who do good in this life or who are morally good, they should be blessed. That means everybody who is rich has been blessed by God and they are favored by God. They're the rich. That's how you know God is favoring you, is because you have a lot of money and doing well in society. And those who are poor because they deserved it. They did something bad or their family did something bad. And I think that thinking is still kind of in our heads. In Psalm 62, we read, that the lowborn, those are poor, and the highborn, those who are rich, are but a breath. In God's kingdom, it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. And in fact, the Bible goes on to say, it's God who determines who's rich and poor. He's the one who gives us the ability to make money and also allows things to happen to make us struggle financially in some ways. And there are times, you know, our actions do have consequences. That's a part of the story too. We do cause trouble in this world and we face the consequences, but ultimately, our lives in the hands of God. And we look at, this is one of the key verses in James chapter 2, verse 5. It says, my dear brothers and sisters, has God not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised to those who love him? Now that word chosen is in Greek elego, to elect, which means to choose as recipients of special favor and privilege. God has chosen and considered those who are poor in the world. He has blessed them with this richness of faith in the same way God has chosen us to believe and to have our lives given to the Lord Jesus Christ. He chose us to have faith in him and to be transformed by his Spirit. And the Bible is clear, very clear. Why did he choose the poor? And why did he choose us? Romans 9, is the famous verse you looked at last year, verse 15 to 16, says, Moses is going to ask, or the readers are asking the same question. It says here in verse 15 to 16, for he said to Moses, I will have mercy on who I have mercy on, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. People are asking, why did they, God, you chose them? Why did they choose these people? And 16, it does not therefore depend on human desire or effort, but on God's mercy. We are all now part of the family of God, not because how good we were, how much money we made, but because God in his mercy and grace chose to favor us. And God has created this very diverse family of God, and each of us has different gifts, different callings, and those who are materially poor often have the gift of faith. Since they cannot rely on the world to provide their needs, they have to trust in God completely. Now, the book of James is very interesting. James is, do you know who he is in relation to Jesus? James is Jesus's brother, yeah. So they have a complicated relationship, but he loves the words of Jesus, and James reads kind of like wisdom literature. It's kind of like there's a story here, but a lot of it is just kind of a nice bullet point here, another bullet point, another bullet point. And a lot of what James is saying is referring actually to Jesus's beatitudes. There's a direct parallel there. And in James 2:5, many commentators believe he is referencing Jesus' words in Matthew 5, verse 3, which says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, I've worked in the inner city for 12 years about, and honestly, I have learned the gift of faith from my friends living in poverty. One time my friend came by and he was looking for bread. And I said, yeah, I had some bread in the shelf in my office, so I gave him some. I was gonna give him more, and he said, Whoa, Jeremiah, hold on. We are to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Not weekly, not monthly, not in the freezery. Daily bread. And I was like, you're right. I have food in my freezer. Am I trusting in God? I'm not saying that we should do what he says, but his faith inspired me. The same person and his wife came up to me a few months later and said, oh, hi, Jeremiah. We just became homeless. I'm like, what? What happened? And they said, oh, yeah, our son was on the verge of homelessness, so we sold everything we had and gave it to him. Now we're homeless. Ha, ha, ha. And they go, what? And he said, they looked at me, Jeremiah, don't you trust in God? He'll provide for us. And we've done this before anyway. It's been a few times. And every time, God provides. Now, can we? That faith is special, isn't it? It's something different. It's rich in faith. And I think God has chosen them specifically for the body of Christ to learn from them. You can write this in your notes. Those who are poor in spirit are like the heart of the body of Christ, while others, maybe the feet, the hands, the brain, we are all called to be different parts of the body. Some are called to be the hands working hard, some are called to be the head studying theology. But some, those who are in poverty are called to be the heart. No matter how much we know, what's important is trusting God every moment of the day for our needs. Now, does this mean that God favors those who are in poverty over the rest of us? No. And that brings us to the second point. The Lord Jesus favors us with a faith that shows no favoritism. Now, it kind of seems like God is favoring those maybe over the wealthy, but I don't think that's what he's doing. Not in the same way that we do favoritism. Now, if, let's say, example, what if a child has a disability, and unfortunately, my house is right by L. Y. Carnes, which is a school for people who have disabilities, and many of my people I know from the Mustard Seed went to that school. It's very hard to succeed in society when they have a disability, have less supports. Now, if a child has a disability, are we supposed to love them any different than everybody else? Should we love them just as we love everybody else? Yes. Yes. Yeah, okay, thank you. But does that mean we treat them exactly the same as everybody else? No. They're vulnerable. They need extra support. Now, if we look at the body analogy again, am I going to treat my hand the same as I treat my eye? No. I got to wash my hands. Oh, I better wash my eyes too. Kind of like... Like, I wonder how this piano feels. I better put my eye to it and feel it. Like, no. We treat it very differently because the eye is vulnerable. We treat different people. We love them all the same. We treat them in a different way, especially those who are vulnerable. And God in the Old Testament and the New is always saying he has a heart for those who are vulnerable, those in poverty, foreigners, widows, orphans. That's his heart. And again, those who are poor teach us this special faith. Because, you can write this, instead of the poor being poor in spirit, many of us are what Tim Keller calls middle class in spirit. That is, the poor, they know without a shadow of a doubt that they'll never be good enough to earn God's love and mercy. A lot of them have to do really tough stuff just to survive. It's only by God's grace they know that they are accepted by him. But those who are middle class in spirit kind of grew up with this, Protestant work ethic. And they think, Lord, I've been working all so hard. I've been going to church every Sunday. I've been reading your Bible and praying diligently. I deserve to get into heaven, right? I worked hard enough to be part of your family, right? This attitude believes that they tend to trust themselves and their goodness to be accepted by God. And they kind of look down on people who aren't doing as well as them. Now, the word for discrimination or favoritism is a very long Greek word. I'm not going to try to say it. But it means to favor, and it literally means receiving the face. You know that saying, don't judge a book by its cover. And that's exactly what it means. We tend to favor people who we compare to ourselves. If they're like us, if they're doing as good as us, And this is credit for notes. We favor based on what we see face value, but God judges all things and he favors by grace. God looks into our hearts, everyone's hearts, and he sees that all of us can't help but take favorites. All of us tend to judge rather than be merciful, and he has every right to judge us. Yet he doesn't. His mercy triumphs over judgment. Instead of destroying humanity, he sent his only son out of glory to become poor for our sake, to love us, to show mercy to us, to die on the cross for our sins. Not because we were good, but because he was good and merciful. And all we can now do is receive this gift. Not with a middle-class spirit, says, oh, Lord, I worked hard enough, right? All we say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Save me. That's all we can do. And this is the kind of faith Jesus offers to us. And as we are doing this series, the question that comes to mind is our faith in the kingdom of God or in the kingdom of this world? We all have a kind of faith, allegiance, pledging our loyalty to, in order we have a sense of purpose, security. And is our faith in God's kingdom, which has a special place for those in poverty, or is it in this kingdom? This kingdom of the world, which tends to elevate those who are wealthy, those who are doing good, quote unquote, morally, who look a certain way. If you think about heaven, do you see streets filled with people with dirty clothes? And are you okay with that? I encourage you, if you've never heard this faith before, if Jesus is calling you, respond to it. He loves you, wants to show mercy with you. And if you have been in faith for a long time, but you're like, this is different than what I heard, come to Jesus. Now, I got one more point before I end. Okay, two more points. This faith that Christ gives is not a dead faith. It's alive and active. You can write this in your notes. Pastor Victor is going to elaborate on this more, so I'm not going to do that now. But when you live in community, you have no choice but to prove your faith through your deeds. Community is hard, and I think God allowed it to be. So if we say, yes, I have faith in Jesus that shows no favoritism, and then someone you don't really like comes in there, that's when your faith has to be proven. Will you be there for them? Will you love them or will you not? I'm not going to go into now. Pastor Victor will talk about that more. But when we don't live up to God's word, when we don't be doers of the word, what hope should we have? The hope is Jesus himself is in us, is helping us. This is the last point. What should you see in the mirror as you read God's word? As you look into the mirror of who we are, and there is spinach there, yes, and God is helping to get out of that spinach. But the first thing you see is the glory of Jesus coming from your face. In verse 1, they call Jesus the glory. And the good news is that we're not called to try harder to be less favoritism or try our best, but Jesus is alive by his spirit, and he is in us. The one who has no favoritism now lives in us by his spirit, and he is favoring us with a faith. He is growing us a faith that shows no favoritism. His very spirit is in our lives. And while in the Old Testament, people couldn't see the glory of God. They had to hide their face. They couldn't go in the temple of God, the presence, or they could die because the glory was so powerful. Through the Holy Spirit, because Jesus rose from the dead, his glory does live in us. And all we can do is trust in him. Trust in his spirit working in us to create a community where there is no favoritism. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, and we all, who with unveiled faces reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Let me end with one story because I have 2 minutes left. A few years ago, we were at CLAC because we didn't have a church home. In a sense, we were kind of, quote unquote, homeless and had to trust in God during that time, not sure where to go. You could put the first picture up, Colby. And at the time, we had baptisms on that day of. And what happened was a very interesting story. A member of our church, yes, Rebecca, you know who it is. She was, there's a legend. I'm not sure what actually happened, but I'll tell you the most fun story, I guess, was she was driving, and this gentleman was hitchhiking, and Lydia felt the call of the Spirit to pick him up. We gave her a little bit scolding after, Pastor Victor did, like, you gotta be careful. But she took him to where he's supposed to go and gave him a pamphlet of Mosaic House. And this is strange because we were not really we didn't even have a place. So somehow he found our church, and Pastor Victor was preaching fervently about Acts 8, where Philip was preaching to Ethiopian eunuch, and at the end of the preaching, the eunuch saw water and said, "What is preventing me from being baptized?" And as this person, and I actually knew him from the mustard seed, heard this, he felt God's call to be baptized. And our friend Herman Borkant talked with him and came up to Pastor Victor right after he preached and said, "This man wants to be baptized." And Pastor Victor got all in his head, "What is preventing him from being baptized?" And all I could hear is, the church protocols? So what they did, they had an impromptu meeting with all the elders. I think Frank was there and a few others. And they quickened the church protocol. And Pastor Victor had an interview with this man. And after the first person was baptized, we called this man up. And the next slide, and he was baptized. And next slide. And we can hear, I remember he was yelling, "Jesus! Jesus!" And I think in that moment, God gave us this gift. Unfortunately, he never came back that I wear. We tried to help him out, but he felt called to another church. But he came as a gift, reminding us what it looks like to be rich in faith and challenging us to trust in God every moment of the day so that we may become a church that shows no favoritism. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your good news. Thank you that in Christ we've been forgiven and redeemed, that your mercy triumphs over judgment, and we are forgiven in you. And now, Lord Jesus, help us to become more and more like you. Thank you that your Holy Spirit is in us, radiating a glow which attracted our brother Lewis to come and be baptized, a glow that calls us to love each other unconditionally, and a glow which builds in us a community where we all feel like we belong, regardless of our background. Help us, Lord, to live into that by power of the Holy Spirit, and may you be glorified when people feel and sense your love and peace here in this place. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.